هون لگل اس بی اس راژیو بشی کردینا.
Today we'll be speaking to journalist and author Gail Tsamach Lemon about her new book, The Daughters of Kobani, which was released a few days ago, February 16. To learn more about the book and the motives of writing this book, Gail Tsamach Lemon is with us from Washington, D.C. Gail, welcome to SBS Radio Kurdish program. It's a privilege having you with us all the way from Washington.
Pleasure to join you.
I guess my first question is, what motivated you in writing this book, The Daughters of Kobani, and why?
I wanted to write a story that captured the heroism of what I saw on the ground, and this truly incredible story of really David versus Goliath, only David was a woman. This is a story about a showdown in the town of Kobani that was really the aim to hand ISIS its first defeat. This is in the summer and the fall of 2014. ISIS attacked the town of Kobani, and right at the heart of the fighting force that really fought back the Islamic State and handed its first loss was these Assyrian Kurdish community who had women right at the heart of their fighting force. And those women had equality right at the center of what they were fighting for. And I wanted to capture this showdown that happened starting in Kobani of ISIS, which had women's enslavement and subjugation right at the heart of it, what it was and who it was, and the women's protection units, which had really been formed in part to cement the notion of women's equality for the women of the community.
How did you meet up with these girls? I mean, did you travel to Kobani?
Oh, yes. I had the privilege of going to northeastern Syria seven times.
Oh, seven times.
Yes, and it started actually because I had written a book previously called Ashley's War about an all-women American special operations team. And one of the women from that team called me from Syria, not too far from Kobani where she was at the time, and said, you have to come see this. There are women who are fighting ISIS, and not only are they fighting ISIS, but they're also fighting for equality. And they have the full respect of the men they serve with, and the Americans alongside whom they serve. And I said, you know, how in the world did this project that really became one of the most far-reaching experiments in women's equality in one of the least likely places in the world come to be on the ashes of the ISIS fight, brought to you by women who fought the Islamic State room by room and house by house and town by town for a half decade? And the Daughters of Kobani is really my effort to explain that to readers.
As you mentioned a little while ago, you've already written a book about women. How would you compare that to this book?
Interesting. So the first book I did was called The Dressmaker of Kharkhana, about a teenage girl whose business supported her family under the Taliban. And I do think that the subject that animates me, that moves me, is communities of women underestimated from the outside who rise to the moment in the midst of war to be part of something greater than any one individual, and not just for themselves, but for their entire community. And I think part of what is true in all three cases is that there are stories of courage and valor and heart. We all have mothers and daughters and sisters who sacrifice for us, and so rarely do we get to hear their stories. And really, this book is my effort to bring readers into the world of the women who stood up to the Islamic State and said no more.
Gail, during the time that you spent with these female fighters, did you at any point feel that any of them were pressured or forced by any party to be fighters? I mean, did they have any choice?
The women I spent time with, I mean, for them, they thought this was existential. They had absolutely decided to come join this fighting force because they decided they could either live in a world in which women were bought and sold and treated as worse than property, or they could give their last breath to fighting the ideology that said women have no value. And there's a moment in the Daughters of Kobani when Nowruz, who is the commander of the Women's Protection Units, is on the radio saying to her forces, you know, they have less weapons, they have less ammunition, they have less people, they have less food than the ISIS with whom they're going up against. And she says, you know, What we do have is spirit. What we do have is will. Show them what you are made of. They think women have no value at all. Show them what is possible.
Some of those women, I mean, they look very young. To you, were any of them underage?
I know this is an issue that has come up, I think, a great deal, very publicly, and certainly there is, you know, I think it's very public that there were people who were, there were girls who were teenagers at the time, and then they've since signed one of the UN declarations that says, you know, no one under the age of 18 could be part of the fighting force. I will say I also have talked to families who had, well, people who were associated with them who had dropped their girls off because they were very worried about child marriage. And so I do think it's quite a complex conversation, but I do know that there was the commander of the Women's Protection Units and the People's Protection Units were both in Switzerland maybe a year and a half ago signing a convention against child soldiers.
As you know, to fight in a battle against ISIS or any other war needs a lot of courage. Where did the Daughters of Kobani get their enthusiasm and courage from, do you think?
I always wondered this because it takes a great deal. I was on the front lines of the ISIS fight in the summer of 2017, and just for one day I was scared. And then I kept thinking, and I write in the book, and I really want readers to contend with this, this was these women's commute to work every day. This drive, I was so scared to make one time, right? This is what they did every single day, and it wasn't just for their sake or for the region. It was for your sake, for my sake, so we wouldn't live in a world in which the Islamic State had a territorial hold that would allow them to plan attacks and to launch violence against Europe, the U.S., Australia, beyond. So I think for them, it was much, very much a part of being part of something greater than themselves and making sure that their life stood against a world in which women could be property. And they wanted ISIS to know that they had brought the fight to them.
Gail, prior to writing The Daughters of Kobani, did you know about the people of Kobani or the Kurds in general and their hardship? For example, during the siege of Kobani, hundreds of thousands of residents and surrounding villages fled to neighboring countries. The town was completely destroyed when Allied bombs hit the town in a battle against ISIS. Yet, when it came to rebuilding Kobani, little or no help was provided. What are your thoughts in regards to that?
I will tell you, I often have far more hope in northeastern Syria than the spirit than in northwest Washington, because the spirit of can-do, the spirit of optimism, the spirit of getting on with it in the town of Kobani is so tremendous and deeply inspiring. And I hope readers are inspired by the spirit of people who really said no and who handed ISIS its first battlefield defeat with the Americans from the air and this fighting force on the ground that advanced and held territory. And so I want readers to come and meet and see the courage, the valor, the heart, the humor, the friendship of the women who it was very real and very ordinary lives became catapulted onto the global stage as they became the world's greatest hope for stopping ISIS.
Hillary Clinton and Chelsea Clinton's new production company got the rights to develop The Daughters of Kobani into a TV series. Do you think Kurdish actors would play the roles of these girls, Gail?
I am so excited, truly, for the world to know this story. And my responsibility is to make sure it reaches as many people as possible. And we're at the very beginning stages, but there's no doubt that I think there's just huge enthusiasm for working with artists from the region, creators from the region, to bring this story to life in a way that moves people and shows them really this David versus Goliath story. Only David is also a woman.
As you said, you know, these girls, and I applaud these female fighters for their courage, they were very courageous and still are courageous to, you know, to sacrifice their life, their time for the rest of us, whether being from Kobani or Northeast Syria or Syria as a whole. What do you make of all of this?
What I make is that for them, this is not about the war. This is about women and politics and governance. if you talk with them and have the privilege of spending time with them, you realize that they didn't choose this fight. But as one commander said to me, if we could lead in war, we can govern in peace. And no one can say women cannot do it. And so if you look at the political experiment of self-rule that is in place in northeastern Syria, it is grassroots participatory democracy with women right at the center. And you have in every town that was taken from ISIS, you have a male and a female co-head of the civil councils. There are women's councils aimed at addressing issues specific to women. There are judges who are women who are judging cases that relate to domestic issues facing women. And I think you just see women 13 times named in the founding document that governs this area. And that document is not recognized outside of the area, but it stands as, you know, part of what governs this region. And so I think what is so fascinating is that it does look different when women lead. And the political piece was really what every young woman I talked to said they were fighting for. And in fact, there's a moment in the story where I asked Nawruz, who was, every one of the four women we follow in the story, they all have their own journey. You know, it's Nareen. So her father said that she couldn't go to university because her uncle said that's not what girls do. She couldn't marry the man she loved because that was not at the time what families allowed. And then here she is going back to her hometown of Mendij, helping to liberate the town from the Islamic State. And girls are coming up to her, seeing her as a role model. So I think it is that whole journey that comes from really being part of a cause greater than yourself. And in this case, the cause was both, of course, protecting Kurdish culture and self-rule, and also showing the world what women could do on the battlefield. And that's why these women's protection units also were formed in 2013.
Gail, for those who are interested in reading The Daughters of Kobani, where could they get it?
So at your local bookstore, certainly on an Amazon, a Barnes & Noble, and I think most of the places where you can find the books that you order from overseas there in Australia.
Journalist and author Gail Tumach-Lemon, it's been great talking to you, and thank you for being with us on SBS Kurdish. All the best.
My pleasure. Thank you.
دەتەوێت بابەتی دیکەی وەک ئەمە ببیستی؟ گوێڕایرە لەسەر ئەپڵ پۆدکاست، گوگڵ پۆدکاست، سپۆتیفای یان لە هەر کوێیەک پۆدکاستەکانت بەدەست دەهێنیت.